Thanks for joining us at Faith. We hope the message you're about to hear encourages your day and draws you closer to Jesus. If you'd like to join us for service or find out more about the church, visit faith.church. That's faith.church.
Wow, in 2017, I went through a really ugly divorce, and it was difficult. We argued a lot, there was verbal abuse, and we even lost a child. And I really tried to make it work, but after 17 years, I was really in despair. Yeah, sometimes I ask myself why I even married him, and why did I stay so long? On the outside, I think we looked pretty perfect. But when I think about my parents' marriage, it looked really similar. My parents' marriage looked perfect on the outside, but they were broken like we were on the inside. And in middle school, my parents divorced. And from that point on, I was really searching for attention, protection, security, and love. Like most people, I've had my ups and my downs. I've had loss, and I've even had times where I was worried if I could pay for my groceries. Despite all things, I know where I am able to find joy, protection, and love when times are hard, and even when times are easier. And that is in Jesus. I find God does a really good job of reminding me where true joy comes from, despite my circumstances. There's a song that really helps me, and it goes, "Whatever my lot, thou has taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul."
Amen. Really excited about this series that we're in, and it's really about understanding the resurrection of Christ. And before I get into the message today, I just want to encourage you. What we believe here at Faith is that God has called us, that our faith should manifest itself in every area of our life. And so if we actually care about our neighbor, our faith should look like something that impacts even the innocent that are around us. And so before you leave today, out in the table, there's a table for you to sign a petition, and it's called Initiative 81, and it's at the table that you can sign. It's a petition for the equal protection of every living child from conception onwards within Colorado. And so we really believe that the church should rise up and care. We should care. Abortion is not a political thing. It is a biblical reality that God, if you love your neighbor, you should love the neighbor that doesn't have a voice, and we should speak for them, amen? And we want them to live, amen? So you can stop by and sign that on your way out today. This series is really, it's been great. So appreciate Pastor Mark and how he's been sharing over the last couple of weeks. Okay, let's thank him for his ministry. We love you. Love you, Pastor Mark. Last week he talked about that hope is possible, and today I want to speak about another topic regarding there is something in our life that is possible, and with God, all things are possible. So the resurrection of Jesus tells us that nothing is impossible. Most of us take what we see and we say that's reality. But what we know is as we're moving towards the resurrection Sunday of Easter, what we know is this, is that through Christ, all things are possible. So no matter what is dying or dead in your life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us that he can raise all things back to life. Amen? And so today, what does this mean to live from the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? What does that power look like manifested in my life? What things are dead in you that Jesus wants to live? What things are dying in your life that Jesus actually wants to be alive? All of us have areas in our life that Jesus wants to bring things back to life. What things do you think are over? What things do you think the door is shut? What things do you think that you've gone too far that you can't come back? What things have you said, I have given up too much, or my purity is no longer existed and I can't ever get it back? The resurrection of Jesus says all things are possible, and it's not over until Jesus says it's over. And the resurrection of Jesus says it's not over. Amen. And so that's what this series is about. The whole purpose of Jesus raising from the dead was not just to save our souls, and I'm grateful for that, grateful. But it's also for us to live from the resurrection of Jesus in our everyday lives. The power in each of us, that same power that raised him from the dead, lives in us and wants to impact and influence every area of our lives. Jesus says this in Revelation 1:18. He says, I am he who lives. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I hold, or I have, the keys of Hades, or hell, and death. This is the truth. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus holds the keys to bring back to life anything in your life that he wants to be alive. And any hell that you think you're going through, he has the keys to set you free from that hell. That's what the resurrection of Jesus is about. That's what we're moving towards to celebrate on Easter morning. Almost said Christmas again, but I'm trying. I'm really trying. That's what we're moving towards. And so he holds the keys. So today we're talking about this reality, though, or this understanding that many of us here have lost joy in our life. Many of us have lost, what does it mean to have a sense of joy, to have a sense of maybe excitement in the morning, or this whole idea that maybe there's something inside of you. Maybe there's something going on. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but living in the Denver metro area, there's about 20% of people in the Denver metro area are struggling with some type of issue of depression or anxiety, about 20%. And, you know, people in my life, I would say, I think it could be higher than 20%. But the resurrection of Jesus has come to give us joy and not depression. He's come to give us beauty for our ashes. He's come to give us joy for our mourning. And this is us understanding that and embracing the reality that Jesus came and rose from the dead for a greater reason than just to get you into heaven. He wants you to experience heaven on earth where you are today. And so what does it mean to really live in the joy that was provided by Christ through his resurrection? So what is going on in maybe some of us today? Maybe something has happened in your life that's left a hole. And it's hard for you to describe what that is. But what you do know is this, is your joy isn't the same as what it used to be. Or maybe you've never found Christ and you're like, I don't even know what real joy really is. And so today isn't about a particular situation we're going through, but it's about how life can affect us on the inside. And so when you take the circumstances of life and disappointment and our own decisions and our own issues, and you couple that with the enemy of our souls that wants to destroy us and rob from us, there are forces at work against our emotions, our thoughts, our decisions, our temptations. And we can find ourselves with a void, a hole somewhere in here. It's hard to even describe at times, but we know it's there. And so what does it mean to really experience the joy that Jesus rose from the dead to give us? You know, the greatest tragedy in life isn't, I don't believe it isn't physical death. Though that's tragic, but if you have Christ, it's, you know, you're absent of the body, you're present with the Lord. I think one of the greatest tragedies is the life that God gave us to live, that we live all of our physical lives without joy. We live with this void, with this hole in us. And the resurrection of Jesus, we can find joy again. The Apostle Paul said that this life that was provided by Jesus, he gives three words, and I want us to look at that this morning, that God's kingdom is summed up in three words. Paul says this in Romans 14. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." So these three things are your inheritance and available to you through the resurrection of Christ. They belong to you. Most believers are like, oh, you know, they're elusive. No, hang on. This says that the kingdom is not a matter of stuff, but it's something on the inside. Goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's available to us. And these three words describe what the resurrection of Jesus has done for us. And what Jesus rose from the dead to do in us. And I believe that we're in a season in our nation, in our state. We're all in this season where joy has been attacked through despair, through discouragement, through depression, through anxiety. And the resurrection of Jesus kicks those things in the freaking mouth and it allows us to live from a joy-filled life that he's called us to live. Don't send me an email. I said freaking, I know, okay? But that's why Jesus came. Do we really understand that? Do we really get that on the inside? That's the life I want to live. I want to see goodness on the inside, peace on the inside of my life, joy on the inside of my life. I want to see this. And Jesus made it possible. If all of us were really honest in this room, we know that because of life, that we can lose this joy very quickly at times. And there's thousands of ways we can lose our joy. Circumstances or discouragement or our own decisions. But it feels like something has left us. The prophet Jeremiah, he was a prophet of God, and he says this when God's people were experiencing difficulties from their own decisions and from circumstances. He writes this in Lamentations 5:15. "The joy of our hearts has ceased." I wonder how many of you here today or listening online, I wonder how many that verse describes you. That the joy of your heart is gone. Because it's a real thing. Jeremiah says it is. Or maybe you would say it this way, you just don't feel the same as you used to. Or maybe you'd say, I'm just not passionate about God, and there's something missing on the inside. Maybe you'd say this, it just feels like I'm going through the motions of the Christian life. Or maybe it's even, I just don't have a sense of life anymore. I'm just like dull, everything. Maybe your inside feels empty. Maybe you say, my smile is fake, I look happy on the inside, but my inside is joyless. It can be easy to lose your joy. But when you begin to focus on the right things, it can be very easy to get it back. And today it's simple, it's practical, And I believe that God brought you here for a reason. Because he wants to raise to life again your joy. So how to receive the depth of joy Christ provided through his resurrection? Number one is this: you just have to acknowledge my joy is missing or not what it used to be. It's really hard to find something that you don't acknowledge is lost. If you're like me, I lose my phone a lot. And I can go like through some time, a couple hours, and I don't know it's lost. So I don't know I should try to find it. It's really, it's the same way. If you don't acknowledge that your joy is gone, it's really hard to ask Jesus to restore it. This is really challenging for some of us, though, because it's really difficult for us to admit that we have a spiritual need. It's really hard for many of us to admit, just be patient with me for a moment, that we're human. It's really hard for people to say, you know what, I haven't had joy in a long time, because we're Christians, by golly. And we should have joy all the time. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Some of you don't know that song. That is old school, baby. And you're like, that should be my song, even though you're like, I'm full of despair, full of depression. Oh, I know. That's usually our song. But we say the opposite. If we're going to be restored and embrace the reality of what Jesus has paid for us, you're going to have to admit, hang on, I've lost my joy. Hang on, I'm human. Hang on, I need Jesus. And most of us are just really too proud to admit that. But this is what I know, that God is gracious and merciful, and he's waiting on you to just admit, Jesus, I can't find joy. Will you help me? David prayed this in Psalm 51. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Most people misquote this verse. They say, restore to me the joy of my salvation. No, one thing, buddy, you can't save yourself. You're up the creek without a paddle if you think you can save you. But David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, God. Now, what this means is that we can be saved, we can be delivered, and not have the joy that God has for you. And so we just need to admit it. Lord, I need your joy. I don't have it, or I've lost it, and I need you to restore it. Number two, how to experience this is examine the cause. Once you've admitted it, once you see it, examine the cause of my lack of joy. Because if you think about it, I'm sure you can come up with some reasons of why your joy isn't what it used to be. So how did you lose your joy? How did I lose my joy? Go back. When did you begin to feel the decline of that sense of joy that has just waned over time? You see, joy just doesn't leave your life. It's not like you're like, whoa, where'd it go? You don't misplace it. Joy doesn't leave you because you ate like an old burrito in the back of the fridge and you're like, oh, I lost my joy. That's not joy. It doesn't just walk away. There are things, people, actions, decisions, mindsets, discouragement, disappointments that cause us to lose our joy. And most of the time, we look for the outside to determine why, what's going on the inside. Many times, we just need to look at our own decisions. We just need to look at our own, at what's going on the inside, practical circumstances. So I want to give you just a few practical things that can rob us from our joy. Number one, it's an imbalanced schedule. We live in the day and age of burning the candle at both ends, and while you're doing it, scroll on Instagram until you are death scrolling, and you're like, what am I doing? I've been here for 6 hours, I didn't realize it. But it's this imbalanced schedule. And there's two ways you can be imbalanced in your schedule. It's you can be overworked or underworked. The overworked some, it's you who are giving. You're giving constantly, you're serving constantly, you're pouring out, you're giving all the time, you're loving people, you're caring, you're sharing, you go to school, you're turning stuff in on time, you're managing all of this. You're trying to be a peacemaker, trying to keep everybody happy around you. You're thinking you can fix people's brokenness and their own stuff, their own decisions. And you're not getting a whole lot back from it. And you're giving. And when you do this without balance, you find yourself fatigued. And it's just a natural, practical thing. And once you feel fatigued and you don't embrace that and realize that and somehow try to find a place to rest, it begins to wear on your joy. You become tired, you become exhausted. Or the opposite is you're underworked. Now these are individuals who all you do is take things in. You never give out. You never serve others. You never die to yourself. And you find yourself without joy. On this one, God, it's important for us to understand, God never intended for you just to receive and not give out to others. God never intended for that to be. I'll never forget in psychology class in Bible college of this testimony of our professor was saying, a woman who lost her husband and she was in grieving and she was going insane and she had begun self-harming. She had begun just totally just withering away. She wasn't eating. She wasn't. And after the psychologist tried so much with her, he said, how about this? Every Tuesday, you're to go down to the soup kitchen and serve other people. So she started doing that. And week after week, she began serving other people. And within a month, her whole mindset had shifted because she began serving others. And as she served others, it brought life and joy to her. Those who receive and never give out, it's the Dead Sea principle. The reason why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea is because one, it's the lowest elevation. And so all the water runs to it. So there's no outflow of the Dead Sea anywhere else. And so the water becomes stagnant and lifeless. God never intended for us to receive and not give out. We are to exercise. We're to give back what has been put into us. So ask yourself, do you receive in your life? But also, do you give out? And I'd have to say, those who serve and give in other ministries, and when you talk to them or care about their neighbor or are always looking to someone to speak into or serve or join a small group to be a part of life-giving community or lead a group or serve somewhere else in the church or give out are usually people that have a sense of joy about them. They're not perfect. They're not always like on cloud nine, but there's an understanding. There's a rhythm of receiving and giving. And they are more joyous. Why? Because that's how God designed you to be. I have to say those that I know or who don't give out to serve others are those who are most critical. They're negative about things and people, about church or about whatever. But everything is about their thing. Everything is about what they want. Everything is about me, do what I want. and they don't ever give out to serve the needs of others, those are people who are without joy. Balance is very important, just like our diet. Unless you're on keto, you need carbs, you need protein, you need chocolate. Wow, I didn't know I'd get a hand clap on that one. Let me say it again. And you need chocolate, hallelujah. Okay, good. All right, good. You remove one of those, especially obviously chocolate, you guys get cranky, we get cranky. But it's about balance. We need balance in our life. This is the one thing how we're structured as a church is understanding this reality. There's opportunity to be poured into together, to gather, to worship. Worship experiences, ministry experience, discipleship. But then we are equipped by the word of God. But then there is opportunity to serve and give out, to serve others, to be a part of the Easter extravaganza, to be a part of serving our community, to be a part of doing a prayer walk around our community, be a part of giving out and serving in other ministries and outreach experience. That's how God designed us. Receive and give, receive and give. And when you do that, there's a fresh flow and fresh water. And we want to be fresh water that flows from us to around other people to give life. That's how you achieve it and do it. There's another thing that robs your joy. It's unused gifting and talent. Now, gifting talks about potential abilities. You have the gifting, but you haven't shaped the ability, but it's important. Talents is about present abilities that are demonstrated and performed. But when you have something in you, and listen, we all know this. When you have something in you, your passion, your heart, your gifting, there's something about who you are, and you can't use it, it depletes your joy. You're gonna get frustrated. You're gonna start getting bitter. You're gonna start blaming other people of why you can't use your gift. And we're to take responsibility for how God has made us. I have to take responsibility for how God has made me and who He's called me to be. You have to take responsibility for the giftings and abilities. And not everybody's gonna like it. Not everybody's gonna resonate. That's fine, they're not you. But when you have unused giftings and talents and you just kind of just stuff them and never use them, it depletes your joy. Now, you're never gonna find a job that's gonna ultimately fulfill you completely. So don't leave here today and resign or quit or leave school or whatever. Don't do that. I mean, sometimes God uses, listen, you're not gonna like everything, but those things you don't like, the reality is just you gotta suck it up, buttercup, and just let God use it in your life, right? We understand that. But if you aren't ever able to like give out of who you are, you're gonna lose your joy. No job's gonna completely fulfill you because God doesn't want your job or your position or your title to become your idol or identity. He wants to be the reason you wake up in the morning. Not your job, not your role, not your title. But He has designed us a certain way. And so if you have unused, then you need to say, God, I want to use this gifting and this ability you've put in me. Another one that robs your joy is unresolved conflict. Now, this is a huge one for most people. All of us would say, yes, we have a story or a living one right now that unresolved conflict robbed your joy. It filled every thought. At 2 a.m., 6 a.m., at breakfast time, unresolved conflict. You ever had a conflict on Sunday morning before church? With a spouse or a child or a friend? Or somebody who just didn't go when the light stinking turned green. I'm just kidding. That reveals your character, not theirs. Okay. But you come to church, right? So let's say you come to church. What do? You get out of the car. You're like, listen, kids, act like we just didn't fight. Come on, let's go worship Jesus. But the unresolved conflict, it wears on our spirits. It wears on that joy. And so we are to ask God to help us to resolve those things, to have those conversations. And you can try to have joy, but if you have unresolved conflict, it's really difficult. Romans 12:18 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now we know that's not possible, but as it depends on you. And peace doesn't mean compromise your values or your beliefs. It means just keep your heart right towards others. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called children of God. Notice it doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers, because that's different. A peacekeeper is just someone, though, unless you're in the Wild West, but a peacekeeper in this context is this. It's one who just, you don't confront anything, because you don't want ever to be, anything to be in conflict, so you don't ever say anything, you don't ever confront, you don't ever have real conversations. You're a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker pursues unity with other people. A peacemaker says, hey, listen, we're not right. We need to talk this out. And you pursue the things of God to come to that place. If you don't do this, it weighs and robs from your joy. Another one is an undernourished spirit. We live in a world that is set on attacking your spiritual health, draining your spirit, shriveling your heart, robbing from you the joy that Jesus rose from the dead to give you. And you need a plan to feed your spirit. You've got to have a plan. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't put your Bible under your pillow and be like, Lord, I just pray tonight that you just fill my mind with your word. That doesn't work. You have to interact with it. Let me encourage you. Most people who don't have the sense of joy, if you were to ask them, do you have a regular time you meet with God? They would say no. So let me encourage you. Take 10 minutes. Sit in a quiet place. Talk to God. Read his word. Remember and rehearse the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection in our life. The next one is unrepented sin. This will rob you quicker than anything. If we don't confess our sin to God, if we don't come to grips with the areas that we have given in to temptation, that we have willingly rebelled against God, all of us are guilty of this. This doesn't have to be murder. We just need to come to grips with this reality that it could be anger. Maybe it's pornography or gossip or slander, and it piles up until it poisons you, and then you refuse to confess it, and it robs you of your joy that Jesus rose from the dead to give you. Your guilt robs you of the confidence. It robs you of your joy, and you can feel the drain, and it happens. And the only way to get your joy back is to confess your sins to a good and gracious God and ask him to cleanse you and forgive you. And he is faithful to give it to you. It's impossible to feel guilt and joy at the same time. It's an easy fix. Admit it, confess it, ask for forgiveness, receive forgiveness, and move on. The resurrection of Jesus was to remove the guilt from your life. There's no reason to go with guilt. There's no reason for you to think you have to pay for your own failures, for your own sin. Accept it and receive the joy of forgiveness from Christ. Number three, the key to finding true joy is this: choose obedience to God's word. James 4:17 says, "It is sin to know what you ought to do, then not do it." Sin causes us to lose joy. So the question for us today: what has God told you in his word to do or spoken to you by his spirit to do, but you haven't started doing it yet? This is about obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's about just surrendering and just being honest and open before the Lord. This is about just leaning in and saying, God, I want to obey your word. God, I want to surrender my life. What is it that God's asked you to do, but you've said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go my own way. Many of the instructions of God are the opposite of human nature. So the word of God says, forgive and pray for your enemies. Well, I want to slap my enemies. And God's like, I'm more concerned about your heart than I am about revenge. Or maybe like, save sex for marriage. This doesn't seem natural because God's given humanity a sex drive. That's what happened when he said, hey, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. They were like, okay. No, he gave them a sex drive to be fruitful and multiply. It's from God. It's a gift from God. But I don't want to wait. I have needs. Well, God knows what will keep you safe, keep you from having a broken heart. Know what keeps others from having a broken heart. God knows what will give you a healthy marriage. And why would God want us to obey his commands that just don't meet our human needs, our carnal needs at the time? You know why? Because he wants you to have joy. John 15 says this, if you keep my commandments, this is what Jesus says, and you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my what? My joy may be in you, and that your what? Joy may be complete. You see, the resurrection of Jesus gives us the power to keep God's commands. But our choice to obey opens his power to move in us. Your choice to obey is not your will to do it. It's, Lord, I want to obey. Now give me the power to do it. And we'll close with this. Remember, the joy you seek is only possible through Christ. Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him. This is what the resurrection is all about. We were buried with him. Your old nature, the things that you're embarrassed of, the decisions that you made that you hope no one ever finds out, the things that you did that haunt you at night, your pride and all the things you're like, oh, I hate this about myself. We were therefore buried with Jesus. All of those things. Through baptism into death. In other words, all that nature, sinful nature, Jesus took upon himself, and he in our place died. And through his resurrection, gave us now available, made to us available, the nature of himself, who is no longer bound to sinful nature. But we are clothed now with his righteousness. And that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's what this is all about. The resurrection of Jesus is about you receiving and living out why he created you and made you to have joy. It doesn't mean you won't have struggles. It doesn't mean you're not going to have off days. It doesn't mean you're not going to fail at times. But that failure and that off day isn't your identity. The resurrection of Jesus is your identity. And in it, you can have joy and peace and goodness and love. And you can actually walk with a sense of, I have joy on the inside that nothing can take it away because Jesus gave it to me. That's what the resurrection is about. And so we see and we celebrate today Psalm 126:3. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. When's the last time you felt real joy? Where has joy died that Jesus today wants to give it back to you? For he has done great things. In the name of the resurrected Christ, receive his joy today. Receive it in your moment of depression. Receive it in your moment of brokenheartedness. Receive it in the moment of your betrayal. Receive it in the moment of another Friday night filled with addiction and alcohol and drugs and you're broken. Receive the joy of Christ that's available in him. Receive it in your shattered past and your shameful decisions. Today, receive the joy of Christ that is available through the resurrection of Jesus, because friend, you were buried with Christ, and today you can receive a new nature which includes his joy. If we can, let's bow our heads just for a moment. If you're here today and you would say, Jason, I need the joy that Christ offers. There are areas of my life that are void of joy. And I want to just surrender that and give God access to that today and receive the joy that he's provided. That's you today. Just raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. I need it. I need a fresh encounter. With the resurrected Christ. Lord, you see our hands. And so, Lord, today, all these things that we've looked at and things that we haven't, we surrender. And Lord, whether it's unconfessed sin, if it is, Lord, we confess it now. Whether we've been going through life just like a zombie and just like Groundhog Day and just over and over and over and over again. Lord, today we ask you to show us how we can use our giftings and our abilities. Lord, we want to be used of you. Lord, maybe our schedule is so stretched and imbalanced. Lord, show us how to balance it. Lord, maybe we've been so self-focused, we haven't poured out to give to others. And Lord, maybe today You've been speaking to us about things from your word, and we just ignored it. So Lord, today we want to come into alignment with you. And we confess and we invite you in your resurrected power in our lives. And Lord, I receive your joy. I receive the fruit of your resurrection. And I just take a deep breath and just breathe that reality in. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and what you've made available to me. Just remain with your heads bowed this morning. If you're here today and you would say that you have never received Christ, you've never asked him to forgive you and cleanse you, and you've never given your life fully and wholeheartedly to him, and you know right now that God's Spirit is revealing that to you. He's not going to force you, but he does reveal to you that you're lost and you're not saved. If that's you today, nobody's looking around, just slip your hand up and slip it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Put your hands up. Thank you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that is a prayer that is the beginning of new life for you, that every believer has prayed it. And we're going to pray it with you today. And I just ask that you would pray it with all of your heart, of sincerity and authenticity. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I receive what you've done for me. I receive your salvation. I receive your nature. Jesus, I believe you died for me. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And you did it for me. From this moment forward, my life belongs to you. May you use me however you want. And may I walk with you for the rest of my life and experience the resurrection power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today. If you gave your life to Jesus today, I'm just going to ask you to, you can scan the QR code right on the back of the seat, or when you leave, you can stop by the Connect booth out there, or you can jump online and just say, gave my life to Jesus today. If you can, let's stand to our feet. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you today. I do want you to be aware we are having a Good Friday service. That will be on Good Friday. We'll be here taking communion. Because of the time, we're not going to be doing that today, but we will be doing that again next Sunday. But if you can, just lift your hands to the Lord. I want to pray for you and pray God's blessing over you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless your people, that God, you'd strengthen them and lead them and guide them. And may we leave here today with a fresh understanding of your love, your grace, and your joy that you've made available to us. May you be with us. May we go into the world and be lights that shine brightly. And God, thank you for gathering us and bring us back again safely as we bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, friends. Missed you. So good to be back. If you need prayer today, our prayer team would be honored to pray with you here at the front. God bless you.